I started recording professionally when I was 17, which would have been 5 years ago. And I started writing music when I was 14. Started playing guitar when I was 11. And the list goes on.
What music were you interested in as you were growing up and coming of age?
You mean what did I listen to? What was mm-hmm. I influenced by?
Yeah.
I was influenced by a lot of classical. Specifically,
Bach?
I liked Bach very, very much. Particularly Wendy Carlos. One of my first albums that I was ever subjected to was when I was 9 years old, and it was Switched on Bach by the then Walter Carlos. And I was very much influenced by that. After mm-hmm. that came Queen, if you can believe that. I was very influenced by their harmonies.
Bohemian Rhapsody, yeah.
Yeah. Moved on to Kate Bush. I wasn't introduced to Kate Bush until I was 16. Peter Gabriel,
I've been
at the same time. And, I was introduced to a lot of music much too late. I wish I'd gotten to hear a lot of it a lot earlier. I was very, I was just very sheltered from a lot of good music right at the time in my life when I really needed to hear that stuff.
You're working as a duo now as Bartlett Rhodes.
Right.
Tell me about that.
Well, Kevin Bartlett is basically an instrumentalist, and he has 9 solo releases on the Oral Gratification label. He's a brilliant artist. I met him about 4 years ago or so. And, I was very moved by his music, and he was very moved by my music. So we decided to make a thing of it, and we started writing music together. We've been living together now for 2 years and writing music together. And we take a lot of my stuff that I've already released and rewrite it for Bartlett Rhodes. And we start from fresh also and write music. And that's what we're doing now. We're out performing the music of Bartlett Rhodes. We're selling ourselves to record companies as Bartlett Rhodes because it's just slightly different from my solo stuff, what I do. You know, what I do is what I do, but he's really got a handle on orchestration and instrumentation, things that I really don't give the time of day to thinking about. I just basically whip out a song and say, there it is, that's done, that's good enough. Whereas he's a lot more professional. He makes them more commercially viable. So it's a good team.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about making Volume 1 and Volume 2. They came together, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They were released in the same year, but they were not recorded consecutively. Actually, Volume 1 and Volume 2, it's the oldest material that I have released. It's just a compilation of all the things that I had been recording since I was 17. It didn't get released until I was maybe 19. So a lot of the music is very old. It's also before I owned a synthesizer of my own. Most of it's a lot of just acoustic guitar. And I stepped up a lot from there in terms of instrumentation. I started using a drum machine and synthesizers and so on. That's all I can say is that that stuff is very different because it's a lot older.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Good music is good music no matter how old it is. But you did everything yourself, didn't you, in the studio?
Yeah, on all 4 of the albums. I did it all.
It wasn't by choice, though, was it?
No, it really wasn't. In fact, I had worked with Kevin at the time that I released Rearmament and Ecto, but he was still a solo artist. He was doing his own thing still. So we didn't work together. I couldn't really depend on anybody. And God knows I didn't have money to pay studio musicians. If I had, it wouldn't have made any difference because I can't read or write music, so I wouldn't have been able to give them sheets of music to play in the studio. So it wound up being the only way I could do it.
Mm-hmm. I played Given In. Could you talk about that song a little bit? I really love that song.
Basically, I'm sure everyone has noticed at this point that my music tends toward the dark side. But Now, this is the way everybody else sees it. I don't necessarily see it that way. I see it more introspective than dark, definitely. I don't get depressed when I listen to my music, whereas some people do. Huh?
I don't.
Oh, well, you're a little strange. Anyway, Given In is a bit of a contrast because it's a very positive song. See, I have two themes that generally run through my music. One is what seems to be depressing, introspective, and another that seems to be loving yourself, that kind of thing. Given In falls under the loving yourself category. Every once in a while, I bang out what I'm feeling, whether it's depression, self-pity, any emotion. I bang it out in a song. But if it does tend to run along the lines of depression, I will get to a certain point, as everybody does, where I have to soothe myself because nobody else can do that for me. And then that comes out in a song. Given In is one of those songs. It's just a matter of telling myself, be strong, you know, what you feel is what you feel, be true to yourself, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. You said you wrote some songs for Ecto and other songs were older material that you picked. What was Ode?
Ode was for Ecto.
Oh, okay.
Ode was done last minute, right before Ecto was released.
Wow. I had a girl call, and she wanted to know what you were thinking about when you wrote No One Here.
I was driving home one morning. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and the sun was rising. And I felt particularly down. No, really? Yes, I felt particularly down at the time. It was so long ago, I don't remember why, but it doesn't matter. I felt very, very lonely, and I didn't like that feeling. And also, I love cats. I adore cats. And I have 3 now. At the time, I was not allowed to have cats. And there seems to be a void in my life when that rule is placed on me. So I felt particularly lonely. And I started writing this song about the lonely feelings I had. And again, I got to that point where I really had to do something about it for myself. This is a great song for me because it describes my sun rising still, even though there's no one here. You know, it's a funny thing. I think every single human being has their own guardian angel. But what you perceive as being your guardian angel is different for every individual.
Mm-hmm.
I see my guardian angel as being me, or an aspect of my personality. So in times of dire need, when I'm emotionally distraught, which is not that often, don't get me wrong, I basically have learned to turn to myself because no one can console me or keep me company as well as I can. That's not to say I shut other people out, but I think that pretty much runs true with everyone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that song's all about. It also can be very fulfilling, though, to know mm-hmm. that you can do that.
For
I know
yourself.
A lot of people go through their lives thinking that they can only be happy if they have someone, being a boyfriend or a girlfriend, whatever. And I guess I was feeling that way at the time. I had no boyfriend, I had no love, I had no romance, I had no animals, I had no friends.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, I don't know why, I'm so likable. So I really had to turn to myself.
Oh, I think you're pretty cool, hey. about the second song, what's this about making ashtrays? Are you very efficient at making ashtrays?
Yes. Don't they do that in padded rooms these days? I don't know myself. Yeah, that was a fun song. No, actually, that song I wrote when I was very, very young. The reason I wrote that was because I was feeling my family had been suppressing my creativity purposely because, I don't know, it's rough. When I was, I'm an artist. And I knew I was an artist when I was very young. Usually people will not delve into artistic ventures until they're older, until they're sure, after they've gone to college, this and that. I never went to college. I didn't have to. I knew when I was 6 years old what I'd be doing. And this is very disarming for the parent, you know, because their goals are for the child to go to college and become a doctor or something of this kind. And I wasn't following in those footsteps. And so I was kind of making everybody involved a little uneasy. Therefore, growing up, I got a lot of pressure to music. Yeah, that's nice. It's a good hobby, but, you know, do something more practical.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel like I was crazy because I was this emotional, moody person who liked to do nothing but write songs. You know, I really didn't care much for friends or parties or anything like that. I just really liked music. And I think everyone around me saw that as being just slightly strange. So I wrote To the Funny Farm because I started seeing myself that way after a while.
Mm-hmm. Did you write a lot of songs? Did you just write every time you felt a song coming on, you'd sit down and write? Or I know you're prolific. It seems like you're prolific with 4 tapes already in 2 years. Were you like that then?
I was more prolific when I was younger than I am now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little strange, but I think disaster and tragedy tend to attract people for some reason. And when I was younger, I found myself being more prolific when I focused on the tragedy of my life rather than the happiness in my life. That's why the songs come out sounding so dark and cynical. Now, there was as much good in my life as there was bad, but like I said, the good could not move me to write a song. The bad always could. So that's why I seemed to be so prolific then, as opposed to now. I'm still prolific, but not so much so. Now I spread my creative energy out in all kinds of areas because my attitudes have changed slightly. You know, I'm still the same person. I still feel those same things, but at least I can come at them from a different perspective now.
Mm-hmm. We had a call from a listener. He was curious about the song Ecto.
Ecto refers to something along the lines of an out-of-the-body experience. And I don't want to mislead anybody because it's not something I've had the opportunity to experience yet. But one of my beliefs, we all have our own individual beliefs, so I don't impose this on anybody, but one of my personal beliefs is that my consciousness goes on. And I think I just wanted to express that in a song, that no matter what happens, it really doesn't matter because my consciousness goes on. And I may choose to stick around, I may choose not to stick around. But I just had to reaffirm that in a song, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's a little eerie sounding. I like eerie things.
Well, how do you feel about this is weird for you, isn't it, being played in Kansas City? What's Kansas City?
Well, I think you pronounced the word moon funny.
Moon? What?
Being from Kansas City, I've listened to you speak. It's just an accent type of thing.
Oh, like Albany?
Yeah, right, Albany.
It's not Albany, is it? It's
Albany.
Albany, yes.
No, how do I feel about Kansas City?
The people listening to you, that are in, there are a lot of people here that are really interested in your music and in your lyrics. I think that's great. I want that to spread. I'm trying to do my little bit here. And hopefully it will go on to other places. And what do you want to happen with your career? Do you want to make mega bucks and do the solid gold thing? Or that was a joke, people. I really am not asking her.
No, she's really serious. I know the girl. All right, that's a loaded question. You've got a few things in there. I feel great about what's happening in Kansas City because my immediate goal is to express myself. Obviously, that's happened successfully. Everyone can interpret what I say in their own way. That is another one of my immediate goals. An ultimate goal, though, a long-term goal, would be, yes, to be heard on many levels. I'd like to spread to the masses. And Kansas City is an excellent start, as far as I'm concerned. I do want to make mega bucks, and for very specific reasons. There are a lot of things that I've wanted to do in my life that I cannot do unless I'm in the power to do them, and unless I'm in some type of powerful position to do them. I'll clarify that. I want to give money away. I really, really want to do that. I mean, I'm not a philanthropist or anything, but I want to support animal rights groups. I want to support amnesty groups, all these things, I'm very touched by people reaching out. It's one of the things I want to do. Unfortunately, in today's society, money seems to be the most immediate way of reaching out and helping. Now, I don't like that fact. I don't necessarily believe in that, but that's the way it seems to be going these days. And if that's the case, fine, I'll play by that. Now, that's not the only reason I'm into music, obviously. Music is me. It's just what I do. If I didn't make any money at it, I'd still be doing it. But it really is a good tool for me to be able to help on a large scale.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, what a good situation for me to be in would be to be popular enough as a musician, as an artist, to be able to be invited to participate in something such as the Amnesty Tour. Do you know what I mean? It's like
mm-hmm.
you have to be known first. You have to be liked on a grand scale to be asked to help. I mean, that's the way it seems to be anyway. Kevin Bartlett and myself, as Bartlett Rhodes, we have offered to participate in certain fundraising activities and have been denied because we weren't popular enough. And this breaks our hearts, you know, because we want to do these things. Ultimately, it would be good to be very, very popular. We need to be signed by a major label and to be funded. And we need to crank the music out and get a good following so that we can really do the things we want to do in our life. It's going extremely well. I think it's a little odd for people. They're not used to it. They're used to seeing garage bands. I hate to use that term, but that's basically what they are. Five-piece bands where four people in the band are playing guitar, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're used to drinking a lot of beer. Now, this is generalization. It's not extremely fair, but you know, a lot of bars are that way. People, they go out to drink and they go out to have a good time. So seeing our kind of act in a bar is a little new to them because it's just two people on a stage producing all this music and dancing around like wildfire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The response we've gotten is so overwhelming. It's ridiculous. It's been nothing but encouraging for us.
Thank you. This was interesting,
yeah,
and it was strange,
it was fun.
But yeah, I had fun too.
Can I just say one last thing?
Yes.
I just wanted to let Glenn know that my mental illness is pretty stable at this point, so he really doesn't have to worry.
Hold that thought. You've been listening to Suspended and Gaffa on KKFI Kansas City 90.1 FM.